We're studying some of the images that the Bible associates with the Holy Spirit. We've seen that the Holy Spirit's essential role is to manifest the risen and the ascended Lord Jesus Christ in this world today. He makes it so that he comes alongside us and continues, the Lord Jesus continues his work of redemption until he returns to consummate his kingdom. And we come today to a very popular topic. Lots of stuff written about it, lots of stuff preached, and yet a lot of confusion still about it. We're going to see what we can learn from texts in the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is very important to me because my understanding of this subject has shaped my life and has given me great confidence to serve. Let's read the first 11 verses. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I say to you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And the image we're looking at today is the image of gifts. Gifts. We've already examined one spiritual gift in detail, the gift of tongues, when we studied the tongues of fire that were described at the day of Pentecost. Today we look more generally at the image of a gift itself. What is a spiritual gift? I want to run through the first seven verses so we can get a biblical outline of what the Bible's talking about. And the first thing that Paul says, and maybe the most important thing, is that spiritual gifts are about glorifying Jesus Christ. Now, this is the first and most important thing, and it's perfectly consistent with what Jesus himself said. He said the Holy Spirit was not sent to glorify himself. He said, the Holy Spirit is sent to glorify me, he said. He's certainly not sent to glorify us. The Holy Spirit's work in the church and work in the world today is solely 100% to glorify the Lord Jesus. And spiritual gifts are nothing less than the powerful expression of Christ's lordship. Spiritual gifts are all about serving Christ. Compare, for example, verses 4 and 5. Biblical authors often use parallels to explain a concept. And you can see it here just in this small parallel. You can see that the Spirit of God is always glorifying the same Lord Jesus. And Paul says that often in this section, the same, the same, the same. No matter what kind of expressions there are, it's all pointing toward Christ. And not only that, but the way the Spirit does this is by imparting what are called charismata or gifts, which enable us to serve him. The purpose of the charismata, first and last and always, is to serve the same Lord. One thing that makes the subject of spiritual gifts confusing is our tendency to approach them in terms of what's in it for me and what do I want to do and what do I get out of it. But that's not what they're about. They're about service to Christ. Spiritual gifts enhance, they enable, they equip, they express his lordship in the world. They focus not on me, they focus on my Lord. What work has he assigned to me? And actually, since he's our Lord, what work has he assigned to all of us? Note the related emphasis on diversity that comes throughout this passage, that the Spirit manifests the work and the lordship of Christ in so many different ways. Serving Christ has many expressions. Many, many expressions. You know, it's common wisdom to list the gifts that are mentioned here and in Romans 12 and think that when you kind of shuffle them together, you have an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts, and then you try to see which one you've got. That can be helpful, but I think that ultimately it is far too restrictive and is maybe not looking at it quite the right way. Look at these two spiritual gifts. Look how different they are. Even though they're produced by the same author. The only gift that's duplicated is prophecy, which is interesting because that's the only one Paul says he wishes everybody would seek. But Paul listed examples of gifts twice in very different contexts, and look, they're very different. And this implies that there is no one hard and fast list of gifts. The Bible only gives us examples. In fact, Peter preferred to think of gifts very generically. He talked about the gifts we have and how we are then responsible to faithfully use them and administer them. But he didn't use a list at all. He just categorized spiritual gifts in terms of, well, things that you say and things that you do. And they all kind of fall into those categories one way or the other. He says, whatever they are, the main point about gifts is that we use them to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what a spiritual gift is about. In fact, the concept of gifts is so broad that Paul even used the notion to describe the offices of the church. When he talked about things like apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, he said, well, they're gifts. They're gifts that are given by God to the church, because church offices are also ways in which Christ's lordship is expressed in his church. And there are other gifts that are mentioned in the Bible that aren't in those lists. For example, in the Old Testament, Bezalel's gift of artistry, obviously a spiritual gift as you read it. Samson's gift of super strength. Paul speaks of celibacy as a gift. So it's a mistake to look at one or even two lists and think that we've exhausted all kinds of spiritual gifts. The best and the shortest definition of spiritual gifts is in verse 7, that to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's how we understand what spiritual gifts are. They are manifestations of the Spirit of God. They are energized by the Spirit of God. He comes alongside of us. He's the Paraclete. He comes alongside and he manifests the risen Lord Jesus from heaven. And the Holy Spirit enables us, in the words of our vision statement, to join Jesus in his work as our Lord works among us and he works through us. It's the manifested spiritual presence of the Lord Jesus that makes spiritual gifts so powerful. They involve the energy of God. That's what it said back in around verse 5, that there are lots of different kinds of working, but it's God who does the working, who provides the energy. But they're not energy like charged batteries. Their power is not impersonal. It's not the impersonal energy that like it's a power ring and we can do whatever we want with it. Spiritual gifts are an expression of the personal power of Jesus Christ himself, who's working in real time in this world at our side. We work alongside of Jesus. He does all of the spiritually heavy lifting. He causes all change. He brings forth life from death. But Christ also works beside us, so that his power is manifested in and through our weakness. So the result is that Christ is glorified, not us. Christ is glorified. Now, this is a sermon about spiritual gifts. We're going to focus on those today, but I have to put it in context. Remember, please, that spiritual gifts are not everything. In the large scheme of the Christian life, they're just a piece of the pie. My service to Christ is not limited by my spiritual gifts. If Jesus Christ is my Lord, then I give everything I've got, and I serve him all the time. I don't need a gift of teaching to teach my kids. I don't need the gift of helps to stack chairs or to come out on a church workday. I don't need the gift of financial giving in order to faithfully tithe from what I earn. I don't need to have an office of an evangelist to share my testimony with a friend. Faithfulness is more fundamental than giftedness. Faithfulness is cumulative. It's like compound interest. It makes a big difference over time. And besides, if I'm not faithful, then I'm not going to be faithful with any gift God gives me. So spiritual gifts aren't everything, but they are critically important. Why is that? Because a spiritual gift supplies divine energy and effectiveness to a particular area of your service. Many kinds of working, but it's God who does the work. The Holy Spirit chooses how Jesus Christ is going to work alongside of you. And He chooses how Jesus Christ is going to work alongside of you. And He chooses how Jesus Christ is going to work alongside of you. And so when you do that thing faithfully, the Holy Spirit sets up a spiritual resonance, and more power comes out of the service than you put into it. When you exercise a spiritual gift, Jesus' power penetrates the earth from heaven at that point. And that's why, to the extent that a spiritual gift is at work, it's always effective. You know, Paul said that we had to be diligent to use our gifts well. He told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that was given you so that our exercise of spiritual gifts is imperfect and it can always improve. But to the extent that a spiritual gift is involved, it's always effective because it's Jesus who's doing the work. And the risen Christ doesn't know how to fail. Think about it. The Apostle Paul traveled with Luke. What did Luke do for a living? He was a doctor. He was a physician, right? Luke was a physician. He traveled with Paul. Luke was a faithful doctor. Sometimes he was able to cure people. And like all of us and all of our careers, his faithful service in his career glorified God. He served Christ that way. But his companion Paul was given the gift of healing, the spiritual gift, the charismata of healing. Paul was not a doctor. He didn't understand anything about medicine. But Paul could send one of his handkerchiefs to a sick person, and that person would be instantly healed. That actually happened, not once, but many times. When a spiritual gift, a charismata of healing, is at work, it's always effective because it's Christ who's doing the healing. That's how powerful spiritual gifts are. We said earlier in the service, in our responsive reading, Paul was talking about how the power of Christ, the power that raised him from the dead, is at work in us. This is one of the ways it's at work in us. It's powerful. It's why Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of preaching and teaching that was given to him when the presbytery laid hands on him. He said, focus on that gift as much as you can. Don't let personal sin get in the way of what God has gifted you to do. And don't get distracted and do a lot of other things, because when Timothy preached, because he was gifted, Jesus Christ was preaching right next to him. And it was powerful. And God used it to build his church. Don't confuse charismata, spiritual gifts, with natural talents. They're different things. We talk commonly about how a person is gifted to do this or gifted to do that when we're talking about natural talents. And that's fine. That makes sense, because everything we have is a gift of God. There's no question about it. And we need to use every talent we have. That's called stewardship. But we're talking here about charismata, in which God is working. He's supplying, the word work there is the word energy. He's supplying the energy for these things. Sometimes God will use a natural ability as the vehicle of a spiritual gift. Sometimes. For example, a lot of people have musical talent, and everyone who has musical talent can use it to glorify Christ and build his church. But some people are given a gift by which their music powerfully influences people for Christ. God is working. There's a resonance there that is a gift of God, a charismata. In that case, then the gift piggybacks on the talent. But it doesn't always work that way. Not everybody can be trusted with a spiritual gift in the area of their natural talent, because the temptation would be so great to confuse God's power with mine. You understand? Remember Paul and Luke? Why didn't God give the gift of healing to the physician? I'll bet Luke asked that question. He gave his whole life to help people and to cure people. Paul had the gift of healing, the charismata of healing. Well, maybe if Luke had had that gift, maybe it would have been possible for him to be confused about who was the one doing the healing around here. Of the two of them, Paul was the one who had a natural affliction of some kind. Jesus chose not to heal Paul. Paul needed a doctor. Okay. So Paul was entrusted with the gift of healing. Paul would never confuse the immense power that worked alongside of him with his own abilities. Because if it was his own abilities, he'd heal himself. As a result, he never lost sight of Christ's power. And he could use his spiritual gift with maximum effectiveness, not getting in the way. This is how the Bible looks at spiritual gifts. Christ is working on a huge project. In his own words, he's building the church. He's turning the world upside down. He's building his church. And he's doing that right now. Jesus is doing that right now all over the world. Spiritual gifts represent the Holy Spirit's personnel roster, listing how each one of us has been assigned to work alongside of Jesus. The most important thing is our faithfulness. We got to show up for work, okay? But then, what is most important is to work at the work that we've been assigned. Now look, at a work site, maybe a master painter could spend the entire day wiring the house, okay? And a master mason could work all day on the drywall. And let me tell you something, the way the church gets built, that's the way it often works when people don't show up. People do what they got to do, okay? But that's not very efficient, is it? Each Christian should do the job which the Holy Spirit has assigned them to do and gifted them to do. Not just do the job, but do it with divine power that comes with the spiritual gift so that Jesus Christ, working in all of us as a body, can build his church. And yet many of us wonder what, you know, if the Holy Spirit has assigned me a function or a set of functions, why don't I know what it is? So many people say, you know, I just don't know what my spiritual gift is. I don't think it's being an apostle. I sure hope it's not financial giving. So what's left on the list, you know? People don't know their spiritual giftedness for several reasons, and some of them are very innocent. There are some dear Christians who have no idea, quite frankly, that Jesus Christ is at work today. They think that when he accomplished his work on the cross, he went to heaven and retired. Okay? He's just waiting to see how things work out down here. There are other dear Christians who think that Christ only works through religious professionals or people who are especially spiritual, whatever that means. And there are other dear Christians who are very faithful and they got pigeonholed into a ministry role early on, a role in which they are very faithful and God is honored and he loves them for it, but which does not make use of their gifting. And they've never done anything else. You know, to teach Sunday school for 30 years or to be a pastor for 30 years, when you're gifted in that role, that's one thing. But to do it for 30 years when you don't have the right gifts, not only hard on you and hard on everybody else, but you'll never discover your true gifting. And I must also say, and I apologize if this rebuke stings, but some never know their spiritual gifts because they've been too lazy to find out. It's a matter of not showing up for work. I mean, you don't need a spiritual gift to do nothing, okay? So, assuming you want to know, how do we each discover what the Holy Spirit has assigned us to do? How do you find your spiritual gifts? There are a variety of ways. It'd be good to ask God. He has a way of answering prayers. You could ask somebody who knows you to reflect. You could, there's books to read, there's tests and there's assessments, and there's all kinds of things that'll help. Can you ask for a specific gift? Yes, you can ask. in the rest of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul dealt with church members who didn't have the gift they wanted. So you can ask, but you may not receive that. Paul was very clear about it in verse 11, that the Spirit gives to each one as he determines. As he determines. Paul's very clear about that. He chooses. It's not a matter of us choosing. He chooses. So it's okay to seek a gift, but what's most important is that we each discover how the Holy Spirit has actually decided to gift us. So how do we do that? Well, many of you already know how you are gifted. But today, if you are still struggling to determine your spiritual gift, I would like to humbly share with you my own thoughts. Please listen carefully, because seriously, if you're searching for your spiritual gift, this could change your life. Because when we seek the Lord, we find Him. How to find your spiritual gifts in three steps. I'd like to say three easy steps, but I don't know how easy they're going to be for you. It took me several years. As I read the scripture, it took Paul at least 14. It takes time. But here's what they are. Number one, how do you find your spiritual gift? Serve Jesus in some new ways. If you don't know what your gift is, serve Jesus in new ways. You cannot know that you are gifted in some way if you never try to serve in that way. You just won't know. So if you're still seeking your gifts, go ahead and try something you haven't done before. Try it. Try teaching. Try teaching kids. Try teaching adults. You may walk away from the experience just glad you survived, okay? But you might find, to your surprise, that you are gifted to influence thousands of people in the next generation by bringing Christ into one classroom of kids. Okay? It's possible. Try administration. The gift of administration or leadership is the Holy Spirit's choice to allow Jesus to work through you to help other people work together as His body so that the whole thing, the energy kind of goes up exponentially. Now, just because you have natural abilities in administration, you want to use those, of course, for Christ, but that doesn't mean that you are gifted, spiritually gifted, with the gift of administration. Remember the example of Paul and Luke when it came to healing? You have the gift, the charismata of administration and leadership, if you are able to get people to work together, not to make widgets or to build a company, but to build an endeavor where Jesus is bursting out of the seams. And everyone is using their gifts really well. And Christ is glorified. It's an incredibly powerful gift. And you don't know if you have it until you try to lead or manage other Christians to glorify Jesus together in some project. You can tell if you have the gift. Try some extra giving. Not your tithe, something extra. A special investment calculated to touch lives for Christ. And follow the money. What's accomplished? Did you invest it with spiritual discernment? Do you have the gift of using money to finance the kingdom and to bring the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ to those who need it? He'll use that money. And He uses some particularly. Some of the gift is having the money, and some of the gift is how you use it. Or open up your house. You don't have to teach a Bible study. Just open up your home. That's called hospitality. It's being open to strangers, not just to your friends. Open up your home to strangers. Let somebody else teach. And just see if people are drawn to Christ when you are hosting and you are making strangers welcome with Jesus' love. So number one, serve Jesus in new ways if you're looking for your gift. Number two, see where Jesus shows up, okay? Now, this is phrased facetiously for effect. Jesus is always with us, right? He lives in His people. The Holy Spirit was sent for that purpose. My point is, Jesus living in us is not the same thing as Jesus being manifested alongside us in a way that touches other people. See where Jesus shows up means see where Jesus becomes manifested so that people are responding to Him, not just to you. Of course they're responding to you. But look for an impact which is greater than what you can account for by your efforts alone. Can you cause people to put to death their old life and rise up with a new one? Can you give people the peace that passes all understanding? I didn't think so. So if you see those sorts of things happening, who's there? Who's at work? See where Jesus shows up. And then finally, just look for a pattern. Because a spiritual gift tends to be pretty reliable, friends. As long as you aren't ignoring it, and as long as you aren't hindering it with sin. Spiritual gifts are reliable because they are not based on your strength or your talent. They represent how the Holy Spirit of God has decided that you will work alongside of Jesus in power. And Christ doesn't get tired, and he doesn't get distracted, and he doesn't blow it. So spiritual gifts tend to be pretty reliable. If you see a pattern in how Jesus is at work when you are involved, you've probably found your spiritual gift. It could be anything. It could be very focused and very narrow. It could be very broad and very big. It may draw public attention to you. It may not. It may not draw any attention to you at all. And you know, none of that matters. All that matters is that Jesus builds his church. And he's doing it alongside of you. Through the words you speak, through the things that you do, his power penetrates earth from heaven. Spiritual gifts are about the Holy Spirit enabling me to join Jesus in his work. Let's pray. Father, we can see why Paul was so excited about this. He spoke, he served, and he saw the world change around him. He was at the center of enormous spiritual power. Well, not exactly at the center, I guess, but rather just beside the center. Your son was there. Your son was working alongside Paul, making it all happen, building his church. Father, we don't need gifts of that magnitude. We don't want to be Paul. We want to be us, serving at your side faithfully in whatever task your Spirit has assigned us. Lord, help us to be content with your Spirit's decisions. Help us to be faithful. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Father, lift up our gaze to your Son. Inspire us. Empower us with gifts from your Spirit. All that Christ be glorified and the lost be purified, and the work should be applied of the one who rose victorious. Amen.